I was remembering again this morning a little funny incident. When I visited someone's homes abroad, he told me, "Abraham, I want to introduce you to my neighbors." And he took me to the backyard of his house. And when I went into that sea, what I saw was, it was a cemetery. It was a Christian cemetery, very well maintained, green grass. But it was a cemetery. I was a little surprised. And he laughed and said, they are my members. They don't trouble me. They are wonderful neighbors. Even though it's a funny incident, there is a good meaning in that. When we are really dead to ourselves, we will do a lot of good to others. We will be the best neighbors. This is something which we can do others. Seek to die to ourselves. Seek to die to our own self. We will be a blessing to others. We can understand that. And it's not something which happened just overnight. You know, a physical death happened overnight. In moment happens. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 31, Paul says that, "I die daily. I die daily." So it's not a physical death. It is a dying to self. Dying to our own self is something which we can seek to do daily. Never satisfied. Every day, every moment, I seek to die myself. I don't seek my own. Those who people in that way, they will be a blessing to us. They have a sweet aroma which they can pass on to others. Think about the others. Think about this. If we are dead to our own self, we are dead, will we get offended? If we are dead to our own self, will we expect from others should treat me nicely, others should respect me? Will we feel that? We will not feel. If I am dead to myself, I will not get offended. Nobody can hurt me. I will not have any hurt feeling. I will not ever think that others have not respected me. I have not received my due respect. I will not think that I am dead. I am not seeking for that. I am dead to myself. And this is something into which we can encourage one another. We are not there, but Lord wants us to be in that way. And it can good such good to others, such a blessing to others, if you seek and if we don't miss any opportunity to die to ourselves. Die to ourselves. That is a blessing we can bring to our family, we can bring to our brothers and sisters. Luke chapter 9, 23 and 24. Jesus told about the cost of discipleship. Luke 9, 23 and 24. And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This is the true need or true requirement of discipleship. If anyone wishes to, it's a good desire to wishes to follow Jesus. But what does it mean? What is the cost of it? That is what Jesus was trying to tell. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. This is a primary requirement. It's not denying, very easy to deny even coming out of family, paying some external cost. It's relatively easy, but it's very hard to deny yourself. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And in verse 24, he continues, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save." If we are trying to preserve our own self, ourselves, we will lose it. That's what Jesus said. But whoever is willing to lose his life for my sake, he will be the one who save it. May God really help us. And instead of struggling to escape from situations where we are challenged, when our self is touched, and take us as a challenge to take every opportunity to die to myself. That is how we can be increasingly a disciple of Jesus, and that is a way how we can increasingly be a blessing to each other. Think about all of us are, we are seeking to die to ourselves. We don't expect anything from others. We will be seeking opportunity to serve others. We will be seeking to bless others. We will not be offended at all. Whatever people do, speak about, do over to us, I am not offended because I am dead. And something to ponder over, something, a sober thought which we can meditate and increasingly apply in our own life. As I mentioned, it will not happen over. Don't be discouraged. Too high a standard for me. It is high. But Jesus wants us to progressively grow and be there. Paul, you know, in Galatians 2:20, he told, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Can we, something which can meditate. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. So the sacrifice Jesus did for us because he loved us, that is what motivates us also to die to self. Jesus showed that example. He did not say from heaven, okay, I love you, but he expressed it, love to us by offering himself up for us. He gave himself up, and that is a model for us to follow. It is no more I who live, but Christ lives in me. What a beautiful picture it is. Let others increasingly see Christ in us, not our own self. I was thinking, thinking something about a very familiar passage from Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verses 1 to 3. Romans 15, 1 to 3. Romans 15, 1 to 3, we read like this. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those who without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So Paul is trying to explain something. We all have a desire, natural desire to please ourselves, where I feel comfortable. I want to please myself. That is our human nature. But Paul is telling something contrary, to opposite to that. First of all, he's saying that those who think that you are spiritually strong, you should be the one who should be able to bear others, so-called weaker people who are not as mature as ours. Something which we can look at ourselves, how, to what extent I can bear others. You all want to be considered as strong people, spiritually strong people. But a quality will naturally happen is the strong people are able to bear others. We can overlook others' failures. We can overlook others' faults. And that is how we display our maturity, something where we can grow increasingly. Are we able to do that? Are we able to bear others? Or very quickly, we get offended, we get disturbed when someone make a mistake, someone do not things perfectly, we become disturbed. Is it a sign of maturity? The mature people, they are able to, a greater extent, they are able to silently get along with others, accommodate others, they are able to bear with others, they are able to silently suffer the mistake which they do. Even some of the offending things, they are able to increasingly bear others. This is where we can aspire to grow, seek to grow. And Paul is encouraging each one of us to please his neighbor for his good, to his duty. It's a challenge for all of us, a responsibility for all of us. Each one of us is supposed to please his neighbor. We can say in the church, we can see who are our neighbors, our brothers and sisters. It's our desire, our longing to please. Not in a human way, just to please us. That's not the meaning of it. To please his neighbor for his good, for his edification. So good to, I heard about a little funny story. Something happened in the in heaven, a picture of heaven, picture of hell. There, people are, is a time of serving food. It's like everyone has got a long spoon and tied to, just an illustration, not tied to a hand. And with that, we have to take the soup and feed its, oneself to. So what happened? This being long, nobody is able to take it and feed it to, because it's a long spoon is attached. So what happened? Nobody is able to serve themselves. So what is happening there? Everyone use this and beat one another, fight. There's a big battle there. So he saw an image of heaven. Heaven also, same kind of spoon. And with that, he cannot feed himself. It will go like this. You know, spoon is so long. It cannot feed oneself. So he's there, the picture he saw in heaven, one is helping other to feed. I can help my neighbor. The spoon cannot reach me, but I can reach the next person. So this is just a funny example how we can seek to bless others. We can please others. We can serve others. We can seek to the edification of others. That's what we read here. And the example of Christ. Even Christ did not please himself. So we can apply this to our own life. Not seeking to please ourselves, but I am seeking to please my brother, my sister, my neighbor. Something recently that came into me, a very challenging passage Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. A wonderful example. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Let's give some attention on that scripture passage. I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. And see this. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. It's a very marvelous passage. The thoughts and commitment, the sacrifice Paul had in his heart. He was willing to, almost like what Jesus did. He is thinking about others, his brothers, his Jewish brothers. And when they think about them, when they think about their salvation, he is willing to go any extent, willing to pay any price. He's saying, if there is a way, I am willing to receive a curse on their behalf. If I am a curse, it's fine, but I want them to be saved. He's saying, and he's saying, I'm not joking. He's saying, I'm telling this with my heart. He's saying, I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me, with the Holy Spirit. This is coming from my heart, out of my concern for my brothers. I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart when you think about others. So this is a level one can grow. And this can be a tremendous encouragement in our life. So I was thinking, and then, am I willing to have some denial of myself on behalf of others? Is there a spirit of self-denial for the sake of others? We see the same thing in, we may be remembering in the case of Moses, when Moses came from the, after receiving the Ten Commandments, when he came down after 40 days, when he saw that his Aaron and people were started worshipping him, they made a golden image, calf, and they started worshipping. He was so disturbed. He was so, God expressed his anger because of the idol worship, and Paul is, Moses is pleading for them, Lord, please forgive them. If you are not willing, I am willing to shoulder in between you and them. I am willing to take the blame. You can wipe my name out of the book of life, but save them. He was pleading for them. he was giving to, it's almost like Paul, he was willing to deny himself for the sake of his brothers. This is a good spirit we can cherish. We need not be thinking, discouraging, you know, I am, this too much for me. It's okay, you're too much for me also. But Holy Spirit can gently, progressively take us there. If we have a heart, if we have desire, let there be a beginning. Let there be a thought, Lord, I want to deny myself. Let there be, I am willing to be, let there be a spirit of self-denial on behalf of others. And coming back to Romans 15, Romans 15, 7. Romans 15:7, we read, therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Accept one another. Just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. This should be the spirit in our midst. I am willing to, with all the imperfections of people around me, we need not be unnatural. I am willing to accept everyone. And the model is just like accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So Christ, if you think about how Christ accepted me in my all imperfection, in my sin and in all inadequacies, weaknesses, if Christ could accept me, that is how, that encourages me to accept others. My wife, my children, my brothers and sisters. I am conscious about our limitations. I am conscious about imperfections, and I know my own imperfections, but I am willing to accept them. I have no problem. So think about it. I was thinking, is there anyone here in our heart we find it hard to accept them? We may not be displaying them, we may not express it, but is there, think about it, something happening inside, a brother, a sister, it's too much for me, I will keep away from that person. Is that our attitude? Is there someone with whom I find it too hard to accept, receive, you know, to my heart? Think about it. Something which can work in our own life. But Jesus accepted me as I am. That is why I'm here. And we have a responsibility to accept everyone as they are. A few things which I was thinking, two, three things which we are encouraged to do like Jesus did. One is John chapter 13, 34 and 35. Little children, I am with you John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus told, this is a new commandment. Let this be a new commandment, something we are hearing for the first time. A new commandment. It never occurred to me. That's what. What is that level of? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved. The same level of, just like Jesus loved me, I am encouraged to love others. This is a new commandment. Something new to me. It never clicked to me. It never occurred to me. I thought love means all self-thing, all seeking and my own. But as I loved you, seek to love one another. A new commandment. And Jesus also said, people around will know that you are my disciples by your love. So may God really help us take it as a new command, something new where I had not worked, when I had not thought about it. But Jesus wants to take us there. The way Jesus loved me, I am asked to love one another. And there, even there, there's a self-denial. If I need to love the people around me, so imperfect people, I need to deny myself. I need to die to myself. The increasingly I die to myself, increasingly I'm able to love others. And John 17, John 17:22 and 23. John 17:23 and 20. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. This is a desire of Jesus. Jesus is praying to the Father that, Lord, Father, as you and me are one, is my desire that let my disciples be also one. A spirit of oneness, a spirit of unity, instead of focusing on areas where could differ, I am looking at things where I could be one. So that is how God wants us to look at it. There are so many variety, you know, we are all different and God has created to be different. There is a need to respect one another and receive one another and value one another, even the differences. But even there are so many differences which I can receive as a rich thing. And at the same time, I can see that as God, Jesus' desire is, just like Jesus and the Father are one, we can also be, I also need to be one with my brothers and sisters. So think about that model, the level of unity in the Spirit. To the extent that Father, you can think about the relation to the Father and Jesus, the perfect unity. And Jesus, the heart of the desire of Jesus is that we all become to that, like, come to that level progressively. Just like he is praying to the Father, just like we are one, Lord, let they be also one. Again, a last thing in Colossians chapter 3:13. Colossians chapter 3:13. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. See, is again an example of Jesus. As the Lord forgave you, so also should you. He's speaking about bearing with one another, tolerating one another, giving space to everyone, and forgiving each other. And it's specifically written, if anyone, yeah, and wherever, whoever has a complaint against another. So there's a possibility. As we are all still imperfect, still we don't have a glorified body. Yeah, thank you. So if anyone has a complaint against, it can happen, a doubt, a complaint, something. But how to resolve that? Keep it in your heart and lifelong. Keep that bitterness and unforgiveness. Is that? No. I have to the ability and grace God has given, first of all, I have to start, bear that, given space. But then, again, more important thing is a spirit of forgiveness. I am willing to forgive. That person has done something wrong. I am willing to forgive. Okay, Jesus forgave me. It's not hard for me to forgive others. So, Jesus modeled all this in his own life and asked us to follow. This is discipleship. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to be called as a Christian or a disciple, this is a way God wants us to take. So we need not be thinking that, no, it's far too much for me. I don't find power. It's okay. That is why we have the helper available, help of the Holy Spirit available. The Holy Spirit is a helper. We are not doing all this, performing all this, our own ability. People are strong willpower, they will be better Christians. No, not at all. We all can reach there by the help of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is silently and powerfully working in our lives. I was also thinking about, during these weeks, something which work against all this self-denial, being one, etc. That is the way we and we speak. I want to read a verse from Proverbs 16:38. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16:38. Yeah. A perverse man spreads strife. It's again, strife is opposite of separation. A perverse man, he spreads. Wherever he goes, instead of bringing in unity, he spreads strife. Exactly opposite to Jesus did. And see here, and a slanderer separates the best of friends. A slanderer separates even the intimate friends. This is exactly opposite thing which we should be reminded, we should be aware. What a damage slandering, backbiting can happen. What a all the work which God has done for his kingdom can be neutralized, nullified, if there is a spirit of slander in us. So it's so much a serious thing we have to work. We have to tremendously challenge ourselves, encourage one another. There should be any root of slandering or backbiting in our midst. This is something which we had to really, really work. And again, it's not something which will disappear overnight. We all have a little spirit of that evil inside. But we had to be conscious about to work against it. So think about it. And is there a need for work in any area? I was thinking situations where suppose someone tell me about a brother. First of all, I hear that, agree, okay, now is it so? I never thought he is that bad. I never thought he does such things. So what happens? He come to me because I give him hearing ears. Slandering will happen only there is some people who receive it. Is it true? So we all both contribute. One has a spirit of slandering, backbiting. He has that or she has that. But there is someone who is willing to receive it. Willing to, instead of telling a bold person, a godly brother or sister should say, brother, don't speak it. I'm not interested to speak a bad against someone. You go and tell him if you are interested. That is what we should do. If is something bad about brother Santosh, instead of I am telling him, which I also, I go and tell brother Sanjay, how it will help brother Santosh? I am slandering to brother Sanjay about brother Santosh. There's areas we can work. What help it is? Because there is an evil in me. That is why I am slandering. If I have real concern about him, if I decide to correct him, I will have the courage to go and tell him, not to brother Sanjay. Why I tell brother Sanjay? He is willing to hear what I am saying. He is looking for some people coming and telling him. He has a listening ear. He encourages me to speak. And another stage, what he will do? He can go to some other person and or he will go back and tell Brother Santosh. Brother Abu came and told this thing about how it goes in the circles. Is it helpful? It is spreading unity. Is it helpful things? No. Evil. This is spirit of devil. These are things we have to work, practical things we have to work. Slandering. Bible says that it can separate the best of friends, most intimate friends. So let there be a fear of God in us and work in this area. And be honest when we see that spirit in us. Even I am tempted to speak about others. And when there are people who are interested to hear, they'll hear and some of the, they go into someone else. This all can happen. It can spoil the work of God. So I think slander is something which can pull down the work of God. It is opposite of self-denial. It is opposite of spirit of unity. Just in conclusion, a couple of things, verses I want to show from Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. I'll quickly, Romans 14 verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. No explanation required. So clear. Such a beautiful passage. He says that one is, let us decide we will not judge others. Do you think that judging others is a very, very serious thing? Jesus said that if you judge others, you shall be judged. If you judge others, you shall be judged. And he's saying that, determine this, resolve this. What? Not to be an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. We all should resolve. I desire, I'm so determined that I will not be a stumbling block to others. I will not be hindrance to others. Maybe my wife, sister, brother, sister, children, young people. I will resolve. This is my strong desire in my heart. I will never be a hindrance or an obstacle, a stumbling block for others by my conduct. Something which we can resolve. And verse 15. It's again about self-denial. It's a question about food. If because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food for him for whom Christ died. Meaning it's an area where some people think they can eat everything. Others say no, certain things are should not eat. So even it's the rightful thing, I have the freedom to eat anything. But if it hinders others, if it is an obstacle to others, I will choose to deny myself. That right I am willing to sacrifice. I am willing to deny myself that my right to eat anything. It's a choice. It's a voluntary choice, not something to impose upon others. So he talks about self-denial. If my conduct, my life, my behavior is going to be an obstacle to others, anyone, I am willing to give it up. I have no problem. It is my right. It is not wrong. It is not sin. But I am willing to give it up. Why? Because it hinders others. It is an obstacle to others. It's a stumbling block to others. Even though it is my right, I am willing to deny it to myself. Speaking about food, people know vegetarian, non-vegetarian, certain kind of foods, etc. Things offered to idols. But what we do should not be a hindrance, an obstacle to a weaker brother or sister or a child. Something we can keep to ourselves. Even the so-called right things, things which are not sinful. If it is an offense to others, I would rather choose not to enjoy that. I would rather choose to deny myself. Verse 19. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So this is the sole matter. What I pursue is whatever is for peace, for unity, or whatever will build others up. I will pursue those things. I am available to adjust myself. My focus is there. That is the purpose. What will build up others? What will serve the cause of peace? I am there. I am available. I can deny myself anything. And also, verse 20, do not tear down the work of God for the sake of God. I very often meditated this. I was surprised. Can we tear down, pull down some work which the Almighty God had done? It is possible. That's what written by our careless attitude, careless the way I live, I can destroy, tear down, pull down things which God has done in the life of others, in the church, in the life of other people's lives. See, we have that capability if we are careless. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake. So what a earnest godly fear should be in my heart that I am not tearing down. I am not nullifying the work of God in others' life. And in conclusion, verse 21. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother is stumbled. So this is a principle. It may be eating meat or what anything, but is it stumbling others? He is saying that it is not to do so. Why? I am interested in his life. I am interested in his edification. He may be a weaker brother, I have a responsibility for him. It may be my right. It may not be wrong. It is not sin. I am not sinning God. There is God. But I have a concern for others. Out of my concern, I am going to deny myself. So, in the case of Cain and Abel, Cain asked God, Am I my brother's keeper? So, in the new covenant, we can say, yes, I am my brother's keeper. That is a responsibility on each one of us. We have a noble goal to build the body of Christ, build one another. And for the sake of that, I am willing to deny myself. I am a spirit of self-denial. There's a place for that. May God really help us. And if we received something, try to practice that in our life. As I mentioned, it is a Christian life is a progression, a development. It isn't an overnight change. But I am in the right track. I am willing to follow the footsteps of Christ. And my desire is also to build one another.
I would like to say that actually God want to share his glory in our life. I would like to say, narrate two incidents which happened in my life. First incident was before a few years, and I went to one church. And then when I was having food, I saw one brother seeing at me like this. Then I thought in my heart, one thought came to my heart that, this brother don't want me to have much food. And I think like that, and I was sitting in a chair in very far away from the in such kind of an area. And so suddenly that brother is an elder. Suddenly that brother was sitting some front, and he came near to me and he said to me, "Go brother and take some food." Suddenly I got amazed. How come this brother came to know that what I have said inside my heart? And one more incident. Once when I share some small things to one brother, that brother was, I gave the cover like this, so it shows that I am very happy to give the food. But suddenly that brother put his hand like this and he had taken much. Then I suddenly said inside my head, how much he is taking? Suddenly he put he took like this, and suddenly he put very much, and he take only two pieces, and he told him, that is enough. I was thinking about these incidents, so it was very nice. God spoke to me, I was a person who used to eat much, so even though no, don't look like so, if I have hurt anyone when I having food here, sorry.
Thank God for what I heard today. Something happened today, you know, like, and this one word, it came to me. It was about, and if you read 1 John chapter 3, and verse 18, it says, "Little children, let us not love with word and with tongue, but in deed and truth. We'll know by this that we are of the truth, and we'll assure our heart before him." That's one thing, you know, like, was hitting me, is just not by word or tongue, you know, but let us love with deed and in truth. It should all come from my heart, and I should do it, not just speak about things, you know, like I love, I do this, I do that, but it should come from my inner being. Now, who changes our inner being? You know, Christ can change our inner beings. He'll do a work inside us, and that will portray outside. It is not that I work outside and inside is all bad. Now, God works inside us. It could happen one thing in the morning, you know, like I was getting ready to come back, mom was not well, but the thing, some renovation is going up on the second floor. I see on the first floor. And they were doing some, you know, hammering and, you know, removing the tiles. They would do some renovation and all. So 1 hour, they started to work. Then I said, 1 hour, I was okay. Like, they're drilling, the voice was very loudly. And I said, you know, okay, the work is going on and things take time. Little above 1 hour, I started getting crazy, you know, this to stop now, it's enough, like, you know, it's getting more and more. And after, say, another 10 minutes, I lost my cool. I went up and I opened the door and I said, boss, what is going on? And like, so you come down, stand over here, see the drilling machine going on, see the noise is coming, you can't sit over there. And the way I was angry, and in the fit of the rage, I spoke to that guy in anger, I said, stop that work, do anything else, but I don't want that noise to come. Came out and came down and all that. And as if in like that work thing stopped for some time, then I came down and said, the heart was feeling relaxed and something like that. I have had victory. Like, I went over there, I stopped the work and came down, but there was a loss. I could speak in a way that was Christ-like, not getting angry. So this thing, this verse was coming to me, when you love or you do something, do it not in just word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. It should come from inside. I had to go and say, sorry, that's different. And I had to tell them, you remove these things and, you know, do it properly. Mom is not well. The noise is loud. That came a little later. But the first part where I had to be, you know, when I say I follow Christ, my attitude should be different. But the first it was, happened something else, and later I felt bad. You know, God loves us. And it says, you know, the, I think it's in Psalms 25. Psalms 25, and the verse that says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. Let's go to that verse. And He'll make known His covenants. You know, like the fear. Fear of Lord is not fear of God doing something, you know, like I do something wrong and court punishment, but the fear that in the way I live or act, you know, I'll make Him sad. You know, that fear in my heart. You know, God, my any action may make you sad, and I fear that. I don't want to lose your love. You know, then, you know, that God knows you. And He'll the secret, you know, He'll show you the secret. He'll show you the covenant. You know, He'll open up things to you that you can live a right life. You know, I was really thinking, you know, like, and I heard many times in certain areas when you feel like something is going wrong, you wait upon the Lord. You know, the Bible says wait, be calm, wait upon the Lord, be patient. But so fast, you know, like you don't want to do anything, but you want to listen to the lies and go and do certain things that you don't have to do. You want to rush around, you know. But that is the way, you know, like sometimes see, like, I love myself, I love my ego, I love my pride so much that first I want to do. Later on things, when I calm down and things go on, then I repent. But if in that moment I could say, God, give me some things, like I want to be patient, I want to talk in a better way. I know I may be angry or something like that, but calm me down. I don't do things, you know, like, but I really feel bad, you know, like, it's so easy to come up and stand, you know, like, stand and say, you know, you can quote the verses, you can do, but when it comes to practical, God shows you, you know, see, this is the person you are. This is how you are living. And when that, you know, hits it, it really hurts inside. It really hurts inside. I was thinking about Paul, you know, like, if you read this verse, in 2 Timothy, when Paul says, he gives final testimony to Timothy. One moment, I'll read that part. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but all those who have loved him. Loved is appearing, you know, like, I think of Paul, you know, like when he has lived his life, like he's come to a final testimony, he can say, you know, like, I have lived this life, you know, I have lived this life, I have finished my course, and I have kept faith in God. And I'm waiting for a judge, you know, like when I stand one day, I'm waiting for a judge that he'll place that crown on my head. Do I live that way? Like, I want God, I'm waiting. This one life when I live, I'm waiting that I'll come and meet you. I'll come and meet you. I won't love my self life, but I want to love you. As brother was sharing about this thing, you know, like about loving, you know, like when I'm loving my brother and all that. If I say, there's a principle, you know, like if I love God wholly in my heart and I really want to follow him, the love for others is automatically there. It is there. I love God totally in my heart. Love for others is there. And when I say love others, and I say don't love God properly, I don't love others also. It's just a false, you know, picture I'm giving. The Bible says, you know, like, first you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. First, I want to really seek God and his righteousness. I really want to love him. When Jesus says, if you love me, then you'll obey my commandments. If you really love me from my heart, it's not just spite, no, I love you, Lord, but if I really love from my heart, I'll obey his commandments. If I really keep Jesus first in my life, and I really wait upon him, my life will be different. I really pray that God will really help me, help us, you know, like, let me really, that God will show us a true picture of our life, of my life, how am I living, and what changes are needed, you know, like, in my life to change. See, a sick person, if he goes to a doctor, the doctor will prescribe him the perfect medicines to get cured, to be healthy. Thing is, the patient has to realize he's not well. You know, if he's not well, he has to realize he's not well and he should go to the doctor. And he'll prescribe the right medicines, then he'll be right, perfectly healthy. The same thing in my Christian life, I want to be healthy. In my Christian life, I have to go to Jesus and ask him, God, I want to learn from you. I see my life, you know, like see many areas that I need corrections. I need victory in these areas. And it's promised, you know, that God will give us victory. You know, God fights our battles. We don't fight our battles, but God fights our battles. And he will give us victory.
Jesus said that he who desires to come after me must deny his own self. Because there is nothing good which dwells in ourself. Paul says, I think in Romans, that in me, that is in myself, dwells no good. So that is something which I need to have a revelation on, that if I try to do something out of my own self life, if I don't deny myself in any situation, whatever comes out is not something which is good. Because even if I think it is good, but before God it will not be pleasing, because it has come from my own self. It has come from my own personality or own self-life. So nothing good dwells in me. That is something which I need to understand, that there is nothing good. That is why Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit inside our heart. And if something good has to come inside, it should be from the Holy Spirit which is dwelling in me. And for that, there is something which is preventing the Holy Spirit from flowing inside me, is my own self. My own self-life prevents the Holy Spirit of God to flow out, the love of God to really work inside and go out. It's prevented by my own self-life. So that's why God has to break that strong self-life which is there. So that's why God allows so many situations in my life where I have to deny myself, where I have to give up my own will, where I have to humble down myself. Jesus said that he who exalts himself will come down, and he who humbles himself will will be exalted. So I need to give up. I need to have a mind, Lord, I need to humble myself in every situation. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So when you say which is born of flesh is my own effort, so whatever I do out of my own effort, in the end it is flesh. So what is born out of my own effort, out of my own self-will, out of my own determination, my own decisions, whatever is born out of that is flesh. And whatever is born out of the Spirit of God working in my heart, that only is the Spirit. That is why we read that the work of the flesh, we know what the work of the flesh is: adultery, fornication, covetousness, all those things are work of the flesh. So if I try to overcome the work of the flesh with my flesh, it will still lead to more works of the flesh. But if I try to overcome the work of the flesh by the Spirit which dwells in me, that is, I give up my own will, or I give up my own efforts, then God's Holy Spirit can work through me.
First of all, I want to thank the church, all the brothers and sisters who have made it possible for me and my family to go to Bangalore. It was a very big blessing going to the conference and getting more spiritual food. We got the best thing that I got to spend with my wife, 6 days. Here in Bombay, I don't get time. I have to go to work and come tired. But in a train, I got more than 24 hours to be with my wife, and she was bored. Yes, sir. And I thank God for the time. And I once again thank my brother, all the brothers and sisters who have made it possible. And I want to come to the Bible that I want to speak about little. Tuesday meetings we have in Brother Abu's house. It's very helpful for us that the Bible is clarified sentence by sentence. There are many topics. There are many words that we emphasize on. We clarify. We get to know the Bible more clearly. And this Tuesday there was also a paragraph here. We are going through the good works. We are reading on James chapter, and after coming from there also, we started meditating on that what are the works we are supposed to do, what Christ wants us to do. There are many profound things in the Bible which we won't understand. The more we go into depth, the more we'll find it difficult to understand it. But I thank Brother Abu for conducting the Bible studies that I want to attend more and more, that I can get to know the Bible. Because the more you get to know the Bible, the more you get, the better to know about Jesus Christ, the heart of Jesus. And I want to read about one woman in the Bible. It is from the chapter of Luke, chapter 13. And I want to read from verses 10 to 12. The very first sentence, it's very profound. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And today the synagogues represents our church, that we as Christians are supposed to be in the church. And if you read further, that it is written in verse 11, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and would in no way raise herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosened from your infirmity. What I want to emphasize, this woman, there's a woman, she's very old. She has a spirit of infirmity for the past 18 years. And I want to also tell you that Jesus started his ministry only for 3.5 years. And if you look at this woman, she's suffering for 18 years. But the 18 years, she had such faith that every Sunday, at that time, the synagogues, she was in the synagogues. She was faithfully going to the synagogues. and more troubles she has. She's very old. She's facing a lot of problem, and I don't know how far she's living from the synagogues. Because while we come from home to hear the church, we have to catch the bus. It takes 25 minutes. So it's a little trouble, but when I look at this woman who is old, full of infirmities, the Bible also is written that she's bent very, that she can't stand. She's having a lot of problems, and even then, she's attending the church. And one day, Jesus is there. If you minus 18, from 18 to 3 years, that 15 years she's being faithfully attending the church. And one day, Jesus is there. And Jesus knows all about her, and Jesus looks at her. He has seen her suffering. And you read in the 13th sentence, and he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So I take this at my heart that whatever problems on any Sundays I'm facing, that I, like this woman, like to be faithful to come to church, to attend every Tuesday Bible studies, even when there is difficulties, there are problems at home, that I leave everything aside and be faithful in serving God. Thank you.
मैं परमेश्वर का धन्यवाद करता हूँ समय के लिए, और जो बातें मेरे मन में हैं आपके सामने मैं रखना चाहता हूँ कि परमेश्वर सच में हमारे जीवन से क्या चाहता है. एक चीज़ जो मैं दिनों में देख रहा था कि आराधना का महत्व मसीही जीवन में कितना अधिक है. दिन प्रतिदिन हम आराधना करते हैं, कई बार हमारी आराधना रविवार प्रति सीमित हो जाती है. जब हम संडे आते हैं शायद तभी हम आराधना करते हैं, लेकिन प्रतिदिन के जीवन में इतना सामर्थ्य है. एक स्त्री जिसके बारे में मैं आपके मध्य में लाना चाहता हूँ कि आराधना एक सामर्थ्य, एक हथियार प्रभु ने एक मसीह कलीसिया को इस धरती पर दिया है कि जो परिस्थितियों को बदलता है, हमें परमेश्वर से जोड़ता है, और हालात से हमारी नज़र को उठाकर परमेश्वर की ओर लेकर आता है. और इस चीज़ को मैंने सीखा कि हमारे प्रश्नों को आराधना में परिवर्तित करना बहुत ज़रूरी है. टर्निंग आर वाई इंटू वर्शिप इज मोस्ट इम्पॉर्टेंट थिंग दैट शोज आर क्रिश्चियन मेच्योरिटी. एक मसीही मेच्योरिटी को दिखाता है कि हमारी आराधना कई बार सरकमस्टेंशियल्स हो जाती है. जिस प्रकार हमारी परिस्थितियां हैं उस प्रकार हमारी आराधना चलती है, इन प्रपोर्शन टू आर सरकमस्टेंसेस. जब हमारी परिस्थिति बहुत ही अच्छी है तब हम हाथों को उठाकर प्रभु की आराधना कर पाते हैं, प्रभु को धन्यवाद कह सकते हैं, हम आगे आके गवाही देते हैं, बहुत खुश होते हैं. लेकिन जब हालात हमारे बदलते नज़र नहीं आते हैं, हमारी प्रार्थनाओं के उत्तर हमें मिल नहीं रहे हैं, हमारे परिवार में कुछ बदलाव नज़र नहीं आ रहा है, कई सारी परिस्थितियां बद से बदतर बनती बिगड़ती जा रही हैं, तब हमारी आराधना बहुत कमज़ोर हो जाती है. हम प्रभु को हमारी परिस्थितियों के नीचे लाने की कोशिश करते हैं कि अब परमेश्वर भी कुछ नहीं कर सकता, जैसे मार्था और मरियम ने, कि अब लाजर मर चुका है. लेकिन एक स्त्री के बारे में आपके मध्य में बताना चाहता हूँ जिसने आराधना का महत्व समझा और उस चीज़ ने इतिहास को बदल दिया, और वो है लिया करके. उत्पत्ति उसके 29 अध्याय के अंदर उसके बारे में हम पढ़ते हैं, जेनेसिस चैप्टर 29. लिया जो है एक ऐसी स्त्री है जिसको कोई प्यार नहीं करता था. वहाँ पे लिखा है जेनेसिस 29:17 के अंदर, लिया जो थी उसकी आंखें धुंधली थी. एक इंग्लिश ट्रांसलेशन में लिखा है कि शी वॉज डल लुकिंग गर्ल, उसके अंदर सुंदरता नहीं थी. एंड द रेचल वॉज, वहाँ पे लिखा था अट्रैक्टिव है, वो रूपवती है, वो सुंदर दिखने में है. देयर इज अ कॉन्ट्रास्ट बिटवीन दिस टू गर्ल्स. और वहाँ पर हम देखते हैं कि याकूब जो है वो राहेल से प्रेम करता है, उसके लिए वो सब कुछ अपने जीवन में उसके लिए उसको स्थान है. लेकिन लिया जो है धोखे से उसका शादी हो गया है, सुंदर दिखने में नहीं है, पति उसका नहीं, शायद उसकी उसकी जो बहन है शायद वो उसको प्रेम किया जा रहा है. कैसी स्त्री है जिसके हालात ठीक नहीं है, ना उसको पति का प्रेम मिल रहा है, ना उसको एक रिजेक्टेड बोल सकते कि एक त्यागी हुई ऐसी एक लड़की है जिस जो चाह रही है कि कोई उसको प्रेम करे, कोई उसके बारे में सोचे. जैसे हम देखते कि 29 के हम कुछ वचन को देखेंगे, 31 में लिखा है, लिया अप्रिय हुई तब उसने उसकी कोख खोली, राहेल बांझ रही. सो लिया गर्भवती हुई, उसका एक पुत्र उत्पन्न हुआ, उसने यह कहकर उसका नाम रूबेन रखा कि यहोवा ने मेरे दुख पर दृष्टि की है, सो अब मेरा पति मुझसे प्रीति रखेगा. मतलब जब उसको पहला बच्चा होता है तब वो बहुत खुश हो जाते हैं कि इस बच्चे के द्वारा अब याकूब मुझे एक्सेप्ट करेगा और मैं अभी एक्सेप्टेड हो जाऊंगी एंड नाउ ऑल माई पेन्स ऑल माई ड्रीम्स विल कम ट्रू। और जैसे हम आगे देखते हैं कि वो रूबेन को लेकर आती है, यहाँ पे हिंदी बाइबल में लिखा है कि रूबेन का मतलब ये है कि दिखाना, हिब्रू मीनिंग में भी होता है कि टू शो समथिंग रूबेन का मतलब। तो वो ये आशा से रूबेन को लेकर आई याकूब के सामने कि याकूब मुझे ग्रहण करेगा, याकूब मुझसे प्रेम करेगा, याकूब मुझसे जुड़ जाएगा, मेरा पति मुझसे जुड़ जाएगा। वो आशा के साथ कि मेरी अभी जो रिजेक्शन की अकेलेपन की जो अवस्था शायद दूर हो जाएगी, लेकिन वचन में आगे लिखा है कि याकूब ने उसके ऊपर कोई ध्यान नहीं दिया। पहला बच्चा लेकर आए बहुत ही आशा के साथ, वो दिखाने की कोशिश करती है। दूसरा वहां पे लिखा है 33 वचन में, फिर वह गर्भवती हुई, उसका एक और पुत्र उत्पन्न हुआ, उसने ये कहा कि यह सुन के मैं अप्रिय हुई, यहोवा ने मुझे यह भी पुत्र दिया, इसलिए उसने उसका नाम शिमोन रखा। और एक पुत्र हुआ और एक एफर्ट वो करते हैं शिमोन, जिसका अर्थ है सुनाना, हिब्रू मीनिंग में भी नीचे फुटनोट में लिखा है कि सुनाना है। पहले वो दिखाने की कोशिश कर रही है अपने पति के सामने, अब सुनाने की कोशिश कर रही है कि देख अब मुझे तो एक्सेप्ट कर, अब मेरे जीवन के अंदर कुछ अद्भुत बातें हैं, या मेरा बेटा है मेरे अंदर कुछ तो ऐसी बातें हैं कि अब तू मुझसे प्रेम करेगा, अब तू मुझे मिल जाएगा। लेकिन शिमोन लाने पर भी याकूब उससे प्रेम नहीं करता है, याकूब उसकी ओर देखता नहीं। अब हम आगे बढ़ते हैं, वहां पे लिखा है कि 34 वर्स में लिखा है, फिर वह और एक बार गर्भवती हुई, उसके एक पुत्र उत्पन्न हुआ, उसने कहा अब की बार तो मेरा पति मुझको मिल ही जाएगा, और उसने 3 पुत्र उत्पन्न, उसके नाम लेवी रखा। नाउ शी वाज सो कंफर्म दिस टाइम कि अब की बार तो मेरा पति मुझे मिल ही जाएगा। शी इज ब्रिंगिंग समथिंग, शी इज शोइंग समथिंग। वो अपने आप में इतनी अधूरापन महसूस कर रही है कि वो अपने पति को प्राप्त करने के लिए, उस अकेलेपन से, उस त्यागेपन से दूर होने के लिए वो हर बार एक बहुत ही बड़ा प्रयत्न करी आशा के साथ कि अब मुझे वो प्रेम, वो रिजेक्शन में से बाहर निकलना पड़ेगा, वो ब्रोकननेस में से शायद मुझे एक्सेप्टेंस मिल जाएगा। लेकिन लेवी लाने के बाद, जिसका मतलब है जुड़ जाना, यू नो द मीनिंग ऑफ लिवाइड इज किसी के साथ जुड़ जाना, एसोसिएट हो जाना, मतलब वो हर एक प्रयत्न कर रही है लेकिन अभी भी वो निष्फल रही और याकूब उसको प्रसन्न, याकूब उससे प्रेम नहीं कर सकता। 3 उसने रूबेन को लेकर आई, वो शिमोन को लेकर आए, लेवी को लेकर आए, बड़ी आशा के साथ अब मैं एक्सेप्टेड होंगी क्योंकि प्रभु ने मुझे आशीष दी है। नो, कई बार हमारे जीवन में भी यही होता है, हम कहीं ना कहीं पे रूबेन लेकर आते हैं, कहीं ना कहीं पे लेवी लेकर आते हैं, शिमोन, हम दिखाने की कोशिश करते हैं, हम सुनाने की कोशिश करते हैं, मनुष्यों के सामने हमारी ये परिस्थिति है। ये बहुत अच्छी बात है कि हम प्रार्थना की विनती औरों के साथ, हम सहभागी के साथ शेयर कर सकते हैं, लेकिन यहाँ पर ऐसे एक स्त्री है जिसका कोई नहीं है, ना उसके पिता ने उसके बारे में सोचा, उसके पिता ने धोखे से न सोचते हुए उस बेटी की शादी उस लड़के से करी, उसके पिता को पता था कि शायद याकूब राहेल से प्रेम करता है, फिर भी इस जिंदगी इसकी मतलब कुछ सोचे बिना इस स्त्री का उसने विवाह कर दिया। पति नहीं है, ना पिता उसके बारे में सोचता, ना कोई सोचता है, लेकिन ये स्त्री एक टूटी हुई एक ऐसी परिस्थिति से जा रही है। कहीं ना कहीं हमारे जीवन के अंदर भी, हमारे जीवन के हम एक लेया को लेकर घूम रहे हैं, बाहर से तो बहुत अच्छे दिखते हैं लेकिन एक अनशेयर्ड ब्रोकननेस हमारे जीवन के अंदर, हम लेया के रूप में, वी आर कैरिंग दैट लेया इनसाइड ऑफ अस एंड वी आर ट्राइंग एवरी टाइम वी आर मीटिंग पीपल, वी आर ब्रिंगिंग दैट रूबेन, वी आर ब्रिंगिंग दैट लिवाई, वी आर हम हर जगह पर वो ट्राई करें कि लोग मुझे एक्सेप्ट करें, मेरे हालात को एक्सेप्ट करें, मेरे बारे में सुने, मुझे देखे, मुझसे प्रेम करे, मेरा रिजेक्शन दूर हो जाए। नहीं, एवरी टाइम शी वॉज ट्राइंग, शी वॉज फेलियर। And this is what happens in world. जितना हम एक्सेप्टेंस प्राप्त करने की कोशिश करते हैं, अपने आप को भरने की कोशिश करते हैं, हम खाली हो जाते हैं इस संसार के। Now the miracle happens. 35 में लिखा है, और फिर वह गर्भवती हुई, this is the fourth time. अब वो गर्भवती हुई और उसके एक और पुत्र हुआ, और उसने कहा अब की बार तो मैं यहोवा को धन्यवाद करूंगी, इसलिए उसका नाम यहूदा रखा। हालेलुया। ये बहुत ही उत्तम बात है कि बहुत ही ब्लेसेड ट्रूथ है, परिस्थितियां बदली नहीं है, उसका पिता उससे प्रेम नहीं कर रहा है, पति उसका नहीं हुआ है, लेकिन नाउ शी चेंज हर पर्सपेक्टिव टू लुक टू द सिचुएशन, परिस्थिति को निहारने का उसने रवैया चेंज कर दिया, अब उसने रूबेन को साइड पे रख दिया, लिवाई को, शिमोन को साइड पे रख दिया, ये कुछ काम नहीं कर रहा है। उसने कहा कि अब की बार मैं यहोवा को धन्यवाद दूंगी, परिस्थितियां हालात नहीं बदले हैं, उसी ब्रोकननेस के अंदर, उसी रिजेक्शन के अंदर, किसी पति के प्रेम के बिना वो आगे बढ़ रहे, लेकिन अब उसने देखा कि मुझे किसी भी चीज से बढ़कर परमेश्वर को धन्यवाद देना बहुत जरूरी है, और उसने परमेश्वर का धन्यवाद दिया और उसका नाम यहूदा रखा, जिसका मतलब है स्तुति। उसने प्रभु को स्तुति देना आरंभ किया और यहीं पर एक बदलाव हुआ। जब उसने स्तुति देना आरंभ किया, उस यहूदा को उस परिस्थिति के अंदर, एक निर्बल स्त्री थी, एक त्यागी हुई स्त्री थी, अपनी निर्बलता में उसने प्रभु को धन्यवाद दिया। और आप जानते हैं यहूदा गोत्र बहुत ही सामर्थ्य और ताकतवर, प्रभु को प्रसन्न। इसराइल के बहुत से मेजॉरिटी जो किंग्स हैं वो यहूदा गोत्र में से है। दाऊद जो है वो यहूदा गोत्र से है, उससे बढ़कर यीशु मसीह जो है वो भी दाऊद यहूदा के गोत्र से आया। उद्धार करता आया, क्यों? क्योंकि एक निर्बल स्त्री ने, एक त्यागी हुई स्त्री ने हजारों साल पहले एक निर्णय लिया कि मैं प्रभु की स्तुति करूंगी मेरे हालातों के बीच में, मेरी कठिन परिस्थिति के बीच में, आंसुओं के बीच में, रिजेक्शन के बीच में मैं प्रभु को धन्यवाद दूंगी। रूबेन लाने से, शायद रूबेन के अंदर यीशु मसीह नहीं आया, शिमोन में यीशु मसीह ने आना, लिवाई में आया, लेकिन जब हम यहूदा लेकर आते हैं परमेश्वर के सामने, धन्यवाद, परिस्थितियों के बावजूद वहां पर उद्धारकर्ता जन्म लेता है। और वही परमेश्वर हमारे जीवन में चाहता है। और उस उद्धारकर्ता यीशु मसीह के कारण आज हम सब आशीषित हो रहे हैं। हमने यीशु मसीह को जाना, एक कलीसिया मिलकर यहां पर आराधना करें, क्यों? क्योंकि हजारों साल पहले उस स्त्री ने निर्णय लिया कि मैं यीशु, मैं मेरे परमेश्वर की स्तुति करूंगी। उसने वो निर्णय लिया और यहूदा दिया, यहूदा से दाऊद, दाऊद से यीशु मसीह, और यीशु मसीह में हम सब हैं। देखिए एक आराधना का महत्व कितना अधिक है, आराधना जो इतिहास को बदलता है, परिस्थितियों को बदलता है। उसने सोचा नहीं होगा, आज शायद लिया स्वर्ग में होगी, लेकिन बहुत आनंदित होगी कि मैंने मेरे बेटे का नाम यहूदा रखा, उस हालात के अंदर, तकलीफ के अंदर, आंसू के अंदर प्रभु की स्तुति की मैंने, और आज पूरा संसार उसके अंदर स्तुति कर रहा है। हमारी आराधना जो कठिन परिस्थिति के अंदर जब हम करते हैं, कई सारे लोग शायद अनजाने में आशीषित हो रहे। पौलुस और सिलास के बारे में जैसे हम देखते हैं, उन्होंने आराधना की और औरों के बंधन भी खुल गए, भुईडोल हुआ, नेव हिल गई। आराधना परिस्थिति के नेव को हिला देता है। और सबसे बड़ी आराधना है जब हम कठिन परिस्थिति, जब हमारे पास कोई गीत नहीं, कोई संगीत नहीं, केवल हमारे पास आंसू है और हम प्रभु के सामने रोते कि प्रभु तू भला है, भले मेरी परिस्थिति बदल नहीं रही है, लेकिन प्रभु फिर भी तू सिंहासन पर है और तू सर्व शक्तिमान है। पौलुस और सिलास के पास हमारे जैसा एसी हॉल नहीं था, हमारे पास जैसे संगीत के कीबोर्ड है, गिटार है, उनके पास जो भी था वो परमेश्वर का रिश्ता था जिसके द्वारा वो प्रभु की स्तुति कर रहे थे। पौलुस और सिलास शायद कैद खाने में थे, लेकिन उनका रिश्ता, उनकी आराधना कैद खाने में नहीं था। और वही परमेश्वर हमारे जीवन में चाहता है कि हमारी परिस्थिति, हमारी आराधना को हम सर्कमस्टेंशियल न बनाए, कि हमारी परिस्थिति चाहे कैसी भी हो, उत्तर मिले न मिले। मुझे बहुत अच्छे लगता है कि दाऊद जो है वो उत्तम आराधना करने वाला था, बहुत अच्छा आराधक है, लेकिन उससे बढ़कर मुझे दो आराधक बहुत अच्छे लगते हैं, एक है अय्यूब और एक हबकुक है। दाऊद तो चरवाह था, प्रभु ने उसको राजा बनाया, इसलिए वो प्रभु की आराधना शायद उस उपकारों को देखकर कर सकता था, लेकिन ये दो व्यक्ति जिनके जीवन में कुछ नहीं था, अपने सारे बच्चों को गाड़ दिया कब्र में अपने सामने, आंखों के सामने धन चले गया, नाम चले गया, स्वास्थ्य चले गया, लेकिन फिर भी कहते हैं मुझे तो निश्चय है मेरा छुड़ाने वाला जीवित है। हमें आराधना करने के लिए चमत्कारों की जरूरत नहीं है, हमें आराधना करने के लिए परमेश्वर के अद्भुत पराक्रम के कामों की जरूरत नहीं है, हमें केवल उसके गुणों की, उसके वचन की जरूरत है। जितना हम अधिक प्रभु के वचन में जाएंगे, उतनी आराधना एक जीवन शैली हमारे जीवन के अंदर हम बना सकते हैं। प्रतिदिन हम उसके उपकार को याद करके प्रभु की हम स्तुति कर सकते हैं। और इस स्त्री ने जैसे आराधना, मुझे बहुत प्रोत्साहित होता है इस स्त्री को देखता हूं, ज्यादा इसके बारे में हम नहीं सुनते हैं, लेकिन उसने जो किया वो आज हमें आशीष दे रहा है। उसके यहूदा गोत्र के द्वारा, उसके यहूदा के द्वारा आज मैं आशीषित हो रहा हूं। आपकी आराधना के द्वारा हमारा और परिवार और कलीसिया आशीषित हो सकती है। और यही प्रोत्साहन मैं देना चाहता हूं परिवार के रूप में, कि हम परिस्थितियों को सुधरने की बात ना जोए। कई बार हम आराधना को एंड रिजल्ट में रखते हैं कि जब ये परिस्थिति सुधर जाएगी तब मैं प्रभु को आराधना दूंगा, जब मुझे चमत्कार, ये चंगाई मिल जाएगी, वेटिंग प्रोसेस पीरियड जब मेरा एंड हो जाएगा तब मैं आराधना करूं दूं। नो, our waiting period can be a victorious period when we are tuned with our Lord. You know, उसी के अंदर आराधना करना, वो है मसीही जीवन का सामर्थ। प्रभु ने हमें इसलिए बनाया कि हम उसकी स्तुति और आराधना करें। अगर मैं आपको एक पेन देता हूं, उस पेन को आप घर में मंदिर बनाकर उसमें रख दें, उसकी पूजा करें, उसको फूल चढ़ाए, कुछ भी करें,
उसका पर्पस फुलफिल नहीं हो रहा है। उस पेन को जब तक आप एक छोटे से फटे हुए कागज पर लिखेंगे नहीं, तभी उसका पर्पस फुलफिल होता है। द सेम वे आइज़ाया में लिखा है कि इसीलिए हमको बनाया कि हम उसकी स्तुति करें, उसका धन्यवाद करें। लेट्स बी एनकरेज एंड चैलेंज कि प्रतिदिन जब तक हम प्रभु की आराधना नहीं करते हैं, स्तुति नहीं करते परिस्थिति को छोड़कर, तब तक हमारा उद्देश्य पूरा नहीं हो रहा है। यू नो वन थिंग, गॉड इज सर्चिंग, ही सर्चिंग फॉर ट्रू वर्शिपर्स। कहीं पर वचन में नहीं लिखा है कि प्रभु प्रार्थना करने वालों को ढूंढ रहा है, वचन पढ़ने वालों को ढूंढ रहा है, चर्च में जाने वालों को ढूंढ रहे, नहीं। वचन में एक ही जगह पर लिखा है कि परमेश्वर जो सर्वशक्तिमान है, जिसके सामर्थ्य उसने वचन से आकाश और पृथ्वी को बनाया, वो हर चीज को कर सकता है, लेकिन एक चीज वो ढूंढ रहा है, वो सच्चे आराधक। आज भी मसीहत के अंदर सच्चे आराधकों की कमी है, आज भी मसीहत के अंदर सच्चे लेया की कमी है। हर कोई राहेल को ढूंढ रहा है, हर कोई ऐसे लोगों को ढूंढ रहा है जो सब में सब कुछ है, और तब आराधना करना आसान है। मेरे जीवन में भी कई बार ऐसी परिस्थितियों से गुजरा जब बहुत आसान था आराधना करना ऐसी सभा के अंदर, लेकिन उस कठिन समय में नुकसान के अंदर, और जब हमें रिजेक्शन मिलता है, बार बार हमारे जीवन में नाकामयाबी भी फेलियर से जब हम गुजरते हैं, जब चीज़ें बनती हुई नज़र नहीं आती है, ऐसा लगता है प्रभु क्यों हमारे जीवन में ऐसे हालात है, हमने क्या किसी का बुरा किया है, प्रभु क्यों तो हमें भूल जाता है, ऐसे समय में आराधना करना कई बार प्रभु रिमाइंड करता है, किरण इस परिस्थिति में कौन से गीत को हम गाएंगे। इस हालात के अंदर बहुत इजी यहां पर खड़े रहकर मेरे लिए गाना गाना, लेकिन उस परिस्थिति में, टेम्पटेशन के अंदर, खराब परिस्थिति में, लेया की जैसी परिस्थिति में, जब कुछ भी बनता हुआ नजर नहीं आ रहा, तब प्रभु की आराधना करना, उस यहूदा को लाना। आज प्रभु अपेक्षा कर रहे हैं हम सबों के जीवन में कि हम यहूदा लेकर आए, हर परिस्थिति में, हर हालात में, हर जगह पर। लेवी को आज से हम न लाए, रुबेन को न लाए, शिमोन को न लाए, बहुत हो चुका, उसमें उद्धारकर्ता नहीं है, उद्धारकर्ता यहूदा में है। हम परमेश्वर को वो स्तुति दे, और ये प्रभु के अनुग्रह से हो सकता है। मैं यहाँ पर बैठ खड़े रहकर प्रचार कर सकता हूँ, लेकिन कठिन समय में आराधना करना बहुत ही कठिन है। कई बार आंसुओं के साथ प्रभु की आराधना करना कई बार एक कॉस्ट होता है। दाऊद कहते हैं मैं प्रभु को ऐसा कोई भी बलिदान नहीं चढ़ाऊंगा जिसकी कीमत मुझे चुकानी ना पड़े। वो प्रभु हमें चाहता है कि हमारी आराधना के अंदर एक कॉस्ट छिपा हुआ है, वो दर्द के साथ, आंसुओं के साथ। कई बार उत्तम आराधना तब होती है जब लफ्ज नहीं है, शब्द नहीं, केवल आंसू की, प्रभु मेरी योग्यता से बढ़कर आपने मुझे दिया है, मेरी योग्यता से बढ़कर आपने मेरे जीवन में कार्य किया है। और प्रभु चाहता है कि हम प्रभु को हमेशा स्तुति दे, और उसमें सामर्थ है जो लेया ने जाना। प्रभु आप सबको आशीष दे।
I don't know what was spoken, but I just remembered in the Bangalore conference, is really challenged by what Brother Zach said, that every day when he gets up, he says one thing, that Psalm 73, it says a verse, whom I vow in heaven but you, I desire nothing on earth beside you. That really challenged me. That is the life he lives. Like every day when he gets up, Lord, I desire nothing on earth beside you, and I desire nothing on that. Stayed in my mind. I believe that is a real worship. And one more thing that he spoke that challenged me is he said, I always strive to live with a clear conscience. That also really spoke to me. Many other things he spoke, that burden of the church that he has, but these two things stayed with me. These are the real main points that I feel in my life that I need, that when I get up in the morning, maybe don't have to shout, but in the heart, can I say always, Lord, today I desire nothing on earth beside you. I desire nothing on earth. That type of attitude, that is not true in my life, but that I take it as a challenge that I can live such a life where whatever comes, like the brother said, that worship, that is real worship. I really want. And worship always happens when no one is there, when you are alone. If you see Job's life, it was when he was alone that he worshiped God. Same with Leah also. Like, it's a heart-to-heart relation. So I really need that desire in my heart. From that time, when I heard that, I really went into my heart. But many times I'm not able to do it. But I really want to take it as a challenge that every day to in my heart to say that, Lord, nothing will get attached to me more than God in my life. That will, then the joy of our life will never go off, because this world, I am not attached to anything in this world, then I will always rejoice in the Lord, because God is always there on the throne. I really want to leave this life as a challenge.
I want to thank God for all that I heard this morning. It was really God speaking through us to Brother Abu. Such a blessing. Something that God was speaking to me from the conference, one thing that Brother Santosh Poonen shared, that God has placed us in a church to help one another. So as Brother Abu was speaking about bearing with the weaknesses of others, I was thinking of this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. verse 27 and 28, the beginning only. Now you are Christ's body, an individual, an individual members of it, and God has appointed in the church. God has appointed us in the church. Every member in this church, God has appointed. So this is what God has been teaching me, that we don't need to, thank you. We don't need to look down upon any member in our church. God has been teaching this in my own life. He says, because God has appointed in the church. And then I was referring, as you know, in this chapter, it's talking about the spiritual gifts. But I am taking it for all of us here from verse 22 onwards. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Members who are weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which deem less honorable. Deem less means which we think are less honorable. Okay? But God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. This is the verse that really spoke to my heart. That there may be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And this is something that we all need to take to heart as we are a small group. God has been speaking to us repeatedly. If we see some weakness, some faults in our brothers and sisters, we don't look down on them, but we bear with the weaknesses. It says, one more verse, that strengthen the feeble knees. Strengthen them. So we are called to strengthen one another. As Brother Abu was sharing, that those who are more spiritual need to bear with the weaknesses of others. So if you think you are nothing, there is a purpose God has placed you here. It says, for some purpose God has placed the weaker ones also, and the less honorable ones, and those who lack are much honored. So let us all not look down on these members, but like how Jesus is thinking of us, one who is lacking, one who is weak, one who is always falling, one who is always given in under devil's different situations in our life, who is falling into sin. How Jesus looks at us, just that we are weak. He doesn't shun us, but encourages us. He uplifts us. He tells us, get up, my son, walk with me. Get up, my daughter, walk with me. So let us, when we see the weaknesses in others, let us be one who will encourage, not look down on them, not speak bad about them. It says, we who think they are less honorable, they are not less honorable. In God's eyes, we all are one. Let us also look at others just as Christ has accepted us and loved us with all our faults and weaknesses. Let us also look at others with the same look that Jesus looked at us. And one more thing it says here, that let us care for one another, so that there may be no divisions, but that the members may have the same care one for one another. So let us look forward to be a blessing in the church and to encourage one another. We all are learning. We all are learning. I know some of my students who are very weak, it becomes so troublesome to teach them, so troublesome. but we don't give up. We want to do the best. Even when our children cannot understand something in math or something in Hindi, Marathi, we don't say, no, nothing now, I'm so tired of you, just give it up. No, we encourage them. We tell them, no, you can do this sum. You will get it. After trying, you will get it. So let us be like that, like how we are parents to our children. Let us be older brothers and sisters to the younger ones, to the weak ones, that we can encourage and be a blessing. Thank God for the church.